Is it wrong to miss a store? I'm David Brancaccio. First, the weather in Texas this week was much more Texas, mid-70s in many spots, and no more of that ice and snow. That said, Texans are still dealing with the effects, including interruptions in commerce. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Austin on how that's played out at one grocery store.
Grocery stores are getting restocked and many are almost back to normal, although some are still limiting the quantities of milk and eggs that people can buy. The freeze hit the ag industry hard. Preliminary estimates put the cost to Texas farmers and ranchers at hundreds of millions of dollars.
We're going to have a lot of farmers go bankrupt from this freeze.
Sid Miller is Texas Agricultural Commissioner. He says farmers are on tight margins even without natural disasters, and farmers and ranchers did what they could to prepare for the storms.
You know, the tractors have got antifreeze and block heaters, and we've got generators to run the dairy barn, but everybody else wasn't ready. The milk processors went down. You know, the trucking companies, the egg processors went down.
He says dairy farmers had to dump 14 million gallons of milk because they couldn't get it to processing plants. A lot of poultry farmers lost power for days and couldn't get more fuel for their generators.
The baby chicks that had just hatched, that are, you know, going to be on your store shelves in 3 months, a lot of them froze to death.
Miller says Texas might have to import from other places if there's a shortage, which would make milk, chicken, and eggs more expensive at the grocery store. Jim Luke studies supply management at Lansing Community College. He says stores can't just immediately restock shelves because they don't keep a lot of extra stock on hand.
Inventory is expensive, but inventory is what buffers the unusual. It's what allows you to handle the sudden peak in demand or the truck that doesn't show up.
And whether those shelves get restocked quickly also might depend on where you live in Texas. David Anderson, an agricultural economist at Texas A&M University, says the shelves might be restocked in Austin or Houston, but that doesn't mean stores in rural East Texas are full.
How different stores in different communities were affected and the speed at which they get restocked, I think, is a really important issue for food security.
About a fifth of Texas's counties are considered food deserts by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
After the NASDAQ fell 3.5% yesterday, the NASDAQ future is down 0.4% this morning.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The other day, I plugged in an old hard drive and stumbled across a long-forgotten file. It was from 10 years ago. I'd label it as some kind of big idea that I wasn't supposed to forget, then promptly forgot. It was to report on vanishing America, features of the landscape that might disappear in the next 10 years here in the land of Amazon. Well, it's 10 years later now, and for me, one just vanished. Fry's Electronics, a big box store in 9 states that shut down abruptly this week. Some called it the nerd Disneyland. Parker Hall, product reviewer for the magazine Wired, is here with a short remembrance. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
For people who've never walked into a Fry's, what do you think the big deal is? I mean, how many SCSI and USB cords can you look at?
It's hard to describe the magic of Fry's in its heyday, especially if you'd only been there in recent years when it sort of lost a little bit of its luster. But it was really this magical wonderland where pretty much everything with a power cord was on sale.
And you would go with your family when you were little?
Oh, yeah. So my dad would make up a random excuse, you know, new TV remote or something. And we would all pile in the car, and it was just this awesome experience because it was such a big store. I mean, it's like a Costco size warehouse of technology. Everything was on display for you to touch, which isn't true. I think even at modern electronic stores, you can't really actually physically pick something up and mess with it the way that you could at Fry's.
I remember it being a watershed moment in my relationship with my son, Nick. I don't remember how old he was, say 12, and he had brought a list of components so that he could build, essentially from scratch, a gaming computer. And this is something I could not do, but he could do. So he's, you know, leading me around looking for the graphics cards and the power supplies and the way we would cool the case of this thing. And I realized, okay, he's in the driver's seat now.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. So I'm probably about the age of your son. I turned 30 this year. And when I was growing up, I mean, that was my first experience building a computer, was going to Fry's with my brother, my older brother, and he got all the parts just there right off the shelf. And we went home that day and built a computer. And I think that being able to go to a store that carries all of this sort of niche stuff that you need to do that really opened a lot of people's eyes. I mean, my brother, you know, to this day, he's an engineer at Amazon, and I don't think he would have been if he hadn't wandered through Fry's and seen all the cool tech that was there when we were kids.
What do you think? Should we be ashamed that a retail space was important to us like this? I mean, if we'd been saying, yes, we went with our family to a national park, that would be more defensible.
It's funny. I've been weighing that, and it's a thing that I deal with a lot just in my job as a product reviewer. But I think that a lot of us saw things and discovered possibilities in that retail space that made it something a little bit more than just a place you'd go and buy things.
Parker Hall is a product reviewer at Wired. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Now, I very much want to hear from you. What feature of the American landscape has disappeared over the last 10 years that was especially meaningful to you? Why do you miss the place? We'll feature some of those on the air. Ready for the email? morningreport@marketplace.org. morningreport@marketplace.org. And before we go, U.S. regulators are now allowing Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID vaccine to be shipped at easier-to-refrigerate temperatures instead of the ultra-cold, dry ice conditions. And today could be the day the FDA approves a third vaccine, this one from Johnson & Johnson. An Oxford-AstraZeneca one could come in a few weeks. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.